extend Christian greeting again tonight. We have gathered together to partake of more of that bread. You know, Jesus said that if we eat of that bread, we're never going to hunger again. So why is it that you came out tonight? Are you hungry? But on the other place, he says, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're going to be filled. So it's okay if you've come hungry tonight. In a sense that you want more of that bread. The psalmist also says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Talks about being satisfied. I'm not going to want anything else but the Lord. And I think that's what Jesus meant too when he talked about being the bread of life. Partaking of that bread, and we're never going to hunger again. We're not going to hunger for anything else but the Word of God. Does that mean we're not going to read any other books? We're going to read books about the book. But we're not going to fill ourselves with other things that distract us from the book, from the Word of God. If we were in the lands where they spoke the Hebrew language, the greeting we would have for each other would be shalom. If you were in Romania and you met brothers and sisters at church or believers anywhere else, you would shake their hand and say pace, which simply means peace. Means peace. Shalom means peace as well. This evening we want to look at the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Now, peace is something that the world is looking for. And they look all over the place for it. And they try all kinds of things to try to find peace. And they only find not even a measure of it, really. They find the absence of irritations. They find the absence of conflict at times. But they don't find peace. Tonight we're going to find out why they don't find peace. We're also going to look at why we struggle to have peace in our hearts at times. The gospel of peace. Gospel means the good story, doesn't it? What else is there but the good story of peace from Jesus Christ? Peace is, here's the definition, is that spiritual tranquility which all can enjoy when through faith in Christ they are brought into a right relation with God. Right? That spiritual tranquility which all can enjoy when through faith in Christ they are brought into a right relation with God. What's tranquility? Be tranquil is to free from agitation of mind or spirit. Free from disruptance or turmoil. That's peace. Peace is when things in our lives are the way God wants them to be. Let's think way back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve were created, there was peace. His beautiful peace. I mean, it was perfect peace. They enjoyed every day. I don't know how many days that they had in that peace. Scripture does not tell us how long that was. But however long that lasted, there was perfect peace. There was no agitation. There was no hindrances for anything. It was perfect peace. And the beautiful thing is, when the evening came, God himself came and he walked with them and he talked with them. Beautiful. And he was there in person. They could look face to face with that relationship with God. That is a picture of perfect peace on earth. There's another scene that is to unfold soon of another picture of peace. And that will be when we get into God's presence. Tonight, we do not have to wait for that time to come to have peace in our hearts. Because peace is when things in our lives are the way God planned them to be. God had planned for Adam and Eve and for the world to continue that way. But it was only through Adam and Eve's disobedience when that plan changed, or the whole scope changed for them. So at the beginning, man had this peace. And we know the story. When Adam and Eve departed, how quickly, how right away that peace changed. They were smitten immediately. They were standing there just contemplating. Now, the devil said, now, what God said partially is true, but the other part really isn't. And so they stood there contemplating this thing, and they disobeyed. And immediately that peace was gone. How do we know that? What happened when God came for the evening stroll? Adam and Eve hiked it. They disappeared. They hid themselves. Why? Because the peace was gone. There was a broken relationship. They were eternally separated from God. I should say they were separated from God because they couldn't stand the face of God anymore because peace was gone. Something had happened. It's that old story. It's that old story. How that relationship was broken because things were not the way God wanted them to be anymore. There was sin in the way. There was disobedience, and they couldn't stand to look into God's face. Just the way it is in our lives when there's something in the way and we don't want to look in God's face. Now this has affected all of us down through the years. Adam and Eve sinned. Romans tells us that by one man sin entered into the world. By one man. And so tonight it has affected each one of us. No matter how close of a relationship you have with the Lord, but this broken relationship has affected each one of us. Adam and Eve disobedience has affected each one of us. None of us are spared from that. All of us. And a lot of us. I'm assuming. I don't know all of you. I don't know many of you at all. But for us that have grown up in Christian homes, did not mean that there was an automatic transfer into the family of God. God does not have any grandchildren. God only has children. And each one of us has to make that decision for ourselves. Are we going to have that relationship restored? No, we were not the original parents that failed, but it has affected us. By one man's sin come into all the world, and it has affected each one of us. Everyone here tonight is affected by Adam and Eve's disobedience. And it has separated us from God. You cannot just grow up in a Christian home, in a Christian church, and have that relationship with God. It does not work that way. That needs to be restored for every one of us. And praise God, it has for a lot of us. But where are we tonight in that? Go to Romans chapter 3. We're going to see here a description, an awful description that fits every one of us before we know Christ. Romans chapter 3 in verse 9. This chapter here, maybe verse chapter 1 and 2 of Romans are some pretty strong pictures here of how mankind has operated. And then the question comes, so maybe the Jews have an advantage over the Gentiles. Maybe those chosen generation, that chosen people there of the Jews, they have an advantage over the Gentiles. Maybe there's something different about them that they just have that automatic connection with God. Verse 1 asks that question, what advantage then hath a Jew? It says, much in every way. Okay, what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly because they that unto them were committed the oracles of God. But they did not believe. They did not believe. And so it goes on to say that there really is no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. In other words, tonight, to bring it in our own language, there is no difference from one person to the other. There is no difference for one that has grown up in church and those that haven't. The sin problem is the same for everyone. That relationship is nothing more there in a person that grew up in church than one that didn't. The one that grew up in a Mennonite church and the one that didn't. It does not matter. It's a universal problem for each one of us. And we all have to reckon with it. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You know, it's really not natural within us to seek after God. Our lives, our minds, our thoughts are always biased to the wild. That's just the way we are since the fall. If left to ourselves, if your child is left to himself, what happens? He just kind of grows up to be a sweet, angelic little child, doesn't he? No, he doesn't. Needs to be taught and trained, right? It does not work that way. Some personalities are different and better, sure. Different. Some are maybe not quite as wild as others, but they're always biased to the wild. It's just the way we are, each one of us. It has affected each one of us. And so tonight, doesn't matter who you are, where you're coming from, what language you talk, the sin problem is the same. It's a universal thing for each one of us. Down to 17 and 18, the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The way of peace have they not known. It's not natural within us to have peace. It's something that only comes when things are the way God intended to be. And you know, that's why young children, young innocent children, the one you're holding on your laps or the one sitting beside you, they have peace. Things are the way God wanted it to be with them. That's why they're innocent. But you know, there comes to a point where they are no longer innocent. When they sense that something isn't right. You know, that is because Jesus lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's born into your children. And especially as they have been taught. As we have been taught. And there is that inner struggle that happens and say, you know, something isn't right. Some fight it. Some ignore it. Some just go away from it. But it never leaves them. It never leaves them. It affects each one of us. Romans chapter 5. As we think of the gospel of peace, Romans chapter 5, in verse 1, we see that peace is only found in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about the words of reconciliation. In order to have peace, that relationship that was broken with God, we can say, well, we never broke that relationship with God. No, when we come to the age of accountability, we never had a relationship with God. We need to establish that relationship with God. And peace comes when that relationship with God is restored. When we won't mind looking into His face. Remember, because God has appointed a day of judgment. And so peace is when things are the way God intends them to be. And we don't mind looking into God's face. Because there's a restored relationship. You think about a time when you had a struggling relationship with somebody. It affects all of us sometime or another, and we tend to avoid a person sometimes. If we shouldn't, but you know what we do because we're human. But isn't there freedom that comes when that relationship can restore? You can sit down, you can just talk about it and say, I'm sorry, and you restore that relationship, and you can go on. You could just go, oh, you don't mind looking in their face. You don't mind meeting them in the street anymore. You don't bypass them anymore. And that's the way it is with God. When that relationship is restored, we have peace. Now notice verse 1, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We could backtrack here. Let's go to chapter 4. It gives the example of Abraham and his faith being fully persuaded in verse 21. Verse 22, Now let's just jump down to verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, because he was delivered for our offenses, because he was raised for our justification, therefore we can be justified by faith. We can have that relationship restored again, and there is peace, and we can look into God's face, and we look forward to being in his presence. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only found in Christ. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Here we have a contrast of a life of peace and a life without peace. Uses some pretty clear language. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. It talks about the Father in verse 19. That it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, that in Christ should all fullness dwell. Everything is there that we need. In verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Right? Reconciliation. It's taking care of the problem within me, why I don't want to meet God. He reconciled. Jesus Christ came so he can reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, each one of us here this evening, were sometime alienated. We were separated from God. We did not know God. Yeah, but you see, I grew up in a Christian church. You were alienated from God, is what the scripture tells us. We were alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled by the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Notice the contrast. Did you notice that? We were alienated, enemies in our mind by wicked works. But verse 22 says, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That's what Jesus Christ can do. That is the gospel of peace. That's because Jesus was willing to die. And when he died and shed his blood, that was there to pay for my sins that I could have never done. And God says, that is sufficient. You believe and accept, that is enough to pay for your sins, and you could go free. Free. Yes. You can have peace. And he says, by that, I'm going to restore a relationship. A relationship with the Almighty God of heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that lovely? We can have that through Jesus Christ. But not only that. Not only did Christ die and pay for our sins and take care of that, but the power of his resurrection is mean that I can live a new life. I can live a life that is separated unto God. I can live a life that is a life of peace. Yes, there's a life of peace. There's a new life. It's an eternal life. Where we no longer are enemies by wicked works. And these are things that affect each one of us. And don't think because you grew up in a Christian home and a Christian church that you don't have to come to this state. Remember, God does not have any grandchildren. He has children. And you need to decide whether you're going to be one of those. You know, tonight, if your relationship with God is the way it is supposed to be. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We see another contrast. Another great contrast. Romans chapter 8. We'll start for now in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Here we see a contrast between minding the flesh and minding the Spirit. It also says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. If you have not granted your life, committed your life to Jesus Christ, you still are living in the carnal mind. And that mind is enmity against God. No matter how much you do good things, no matter how much you try to be good, there may be reformation, right? Reform some things and make it look good. And people may not know. And even the world may look at you and say, well, that's one of those people over there from that church. But God knows the heart. Is it minding the flesh or is it minding the Spirit? Minding the flesh or minding the Spirit? The carnal mind cannot be subject, is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. The Scripture also tells us that even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Everything that a carnal mind does is sin, because that relationship hasn't been restored. Anything outside of that relationship with Jesus Christ, when there's peace, is sin. It's carnality. The thought of minding the Spirit or minding the flesh. You know, we tell our children that sometimes. When they tend to act up a little bit, you know, the little children, we tell them, look, I want you to mind me now, okay? What do we mean? Well, I want you to stop and listen and pay attention and do what I tell you to do. And so they are supposed to pay attention to us. They're supposed to listen to what we say. So tonight, are you minding the flesh? The flesh is going to tell you all kinds of things. The flesh is going to send all kinds of appeals out to you and try to tempt you and draw you away and say, go ahead. It's okay. It feels good. It tastes good. It looks good. Just try it. And so sometimes we tend to mind the flesh. We pay attention. We listen to the flesh. What does it say? The carnal mind is death. But what about if we mind the Spirit? What about if we mind the Spirit and we listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to us and say, no, don't do that. That is going to take you away. And we mind Him. I want you to speak to somebody. I want you to, whatever the Spirit tells us to do, we mind it. We follow that. We listen to instruction as given to us. And we want to do that. Because we are minding the Spirit. We are doing this because that relationship has been restored. And we don't want anything to mar my relationship with Christ so that I can look into His face at any time. At any time. Because a day has been appointed for a man once to die. And after that, the judgment. So tonight, are we minding the flesh or are we minding the Spirit? And it is serious because the carnal mind is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Yes, it's life. It's eternal life. It's a life of peace. A life of restored relationship. And we do not fear that day that's been appointed. And peace or the lack of peace affects all areas of life. Yes, it does. All areas of life. There's many people that have said, you know, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I just didn't realize how bright the world is. The nature. Talking about the nature. The birds just are singing extra loud this morning. Just beautiful. You know, just those kind of things. But you know what? That's just because our vision has changed. And things are at peace. Why? Because before, when we carry that burden in our hearts, when we're not at peace, what are we doing? We're minding the flesh. We're thinking about self. We're thinking about this load. We're thinking about anything else that's going to appeal to me because I'm not at peace. And we don't notice these things. The birds were singing just as loud yesterday. Yes, they were. But there's peace. The relationship has been restored. And you know what? There's a lot of things that are not the way they were before. It just affects us, our personal life. It affects our personal life, first of all. The psalmist says that I can lay me down in peace and sleep. Psalms 4, verse 8. I can just lay down and sleep in peace. Why is that? Why is it when a person is not at peace and he knows it and he's fighting it? Why can't they lay down in peace? They're afraid to fall asleep. Why? Because the light that lighteth every man. They know that they have that fear. What if I don't wake up? Because they don't want to look into God's face. But when there's peace, it affects that as well. We can lay down and sleep and say, it doesn't really matter if I don't wake up. I can then be in the presence of God forevermore. There is a song that talks about peace. Just want to look at that song tonight. It's number 452 in your church hymnal. Familiar song to us. When peace like a river. We're not going to sing it. I just want to read the words. But if I remember the story correctly, that was written by Mr. Spafford, is when he sent his family across the ocean in the ship. Maybe most of you know that story. Maybe you know it better than I do. I don't know. But he sent them ahead. And his wife and daughters. And he stayed behind. Well, after a while, he got the telegram that I forget a lot of the details. But it ended up that at least his three daughters, I think it was, that had drowned there in the water. He had never to be seen again. And as he was riding that ship, going across himself, he got to that spot where his daughters had drowned. And he penned these words. Look at them. They're in your books at 452 in the church hymnal. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It'd be difficult, I think. I'm sure it was very difficult for him, but there was an inner peace. Then he goes on in verse 2. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. This man was not afraid to face God, even though his family was gone. At least his daughters. I forget about his wife. But at least his daughters were gone. And he said, you know what? Because Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul, I can have peace. I can have peace. Because his sin, not in part, but all of it, was nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. There was restored relationship with Jesus Christ. In the midst of that, it affects all areas of life. It affects our homes. Yes, it affects our homes. Maybe too many of us know what it is like to have just a little irritation coming up, rippling through somehow, something, whatever it may be. It affects our homes. But we know when that peace is restored, those ripples are gone, that irritation is gone, peace reigns. Maybe in your homes it's always that way. But we're all human, okay? We're all humans. What about church life? Does this affect church life? Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Peace in our hearts. You know, if there is peace in our hearts, individual hearts, that's what we're talking about tonight. There's going to be peace in the church. Okay? There's going to be peace in the church if there's peace in our own hearts. It just works that way. Because the restored relationship is not between God and the church. It's between God and you that make up the church. And so when there's peace in our hearts, it affects the church life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, is the bond of perfection. These things are going to be when there's peace in our hearts. There's going to be peace in the church. We're going to, as we have been elect of God, as a child of God, we are elect of God. We are holy and beloved. We want bowels of mercies. I mean mercies that come from the bottom of our hearts. There's kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. These things are affected when peace is affected. When there's turmoil. When I can't look into brother's eyes in peace anymore. When I wish, whatever it may be, when there's turmoil, and I don't know the congregation here, I just speak freely. When there's turmoil, this all has been affected, but these are our instruction to have peace in our congregation, peace in our hearts, and that affects our congregation. Now notice in verse 5, when these things are, now this charity goes beyond just the word love. This is talking about the agape love. This is the way Christ loves the church, loves you. That's the kind of love you need to have for your brothers and sisters. And when that happens, these other things happen. Now notice in verse 5, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So the thought isn't somehow I need to do this and this so there can be peace. When you do these things, there will be peace. And all you need to do is let it rule in your hearts. You just let that peace go. And it's going to rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Does peace or lack of peace affect church life? Yes, indeed it does. Yes, indeed it does. See, we are naturally selfish. Like I said before, naturally selfish. But peace, again, is when things are the way God planned it to be. Now, we're talking about inner peace. Let's think just for a moment. Thing that sometimes disturbs our peace is the things that we face. We may say, my relationship with God is good, but I'm facing these things on more the earthly level. It's just causing me some struggles and some problems and difficulties. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6 and 7, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing. Okay, don't worry about things. Don't fret about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth understanding. You know, in the midst of hardships in life, we struggle just to have that peace at times, because our focus is so much on those hardships in life. And sometimes things come real hard in life. Maybe whatever those difficulties may be. But Jesus tells us, just going to read one verse, John 16, verse 33, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulations. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus says we're going to face difficulties in life. We're going to face challenges in life. There's tribulations, whether it's financial or physical or whatever it may be. I'm just talking about those everyday things that sometimes cause us some disturbances. Those are going to be, Jesus says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What does that have to do with it? We can live above it. Peace does not, didn't I say yesterday, peace does not come because of circumstances. Peace comes because of my restored relationship with Jesus Christ. And so these things, though they affect us, we can rise above them and have peace. These are earthly things. Things that we can leave behind when we go and be with Jesus. It's an inner peace. Those are the things that we face. So tonight, how is it with us? How is it with us this evening? Are we bogged down with the cares of this life? Are we bogged down with the cares of this life? Let's rise above those things as we can. And we can. That doesn't mean these things are going to disappear. Jesus says these things will be there. But we can rise above to the point where we can have a peaceful relationship with Jesus Christ in spite of those things. Tonight, are you struggling with your relationship with others? And if our struggle with our, if we struggle with relationship with others, you know, for the most part, that's not the other person's fault. If we have lack of peace in our hearts, it's not because of the other person. It is up to us individually. God didn't say, I'm going to work in the other person so that you can have peace. God says, I'm going to work in your heart so that you can have peace in spite of the other person. So tonight, are you struggling with a relationship with others? Tonight, also, are you minding the spirit or are you minding the flesh? What is going through your mind tonight? Has that relationship been restored? Is there a peace? Or do you face unrest in your heart? Are you sitting here tonight and your heart is racing and it's beating and you know, beating fast and you know something isn't right. Something isn't right. Is there unrest in your heart tonight? I can tell you something. That unrest is a lack of peace. And the relationship tonight can be restored with Jesus Christ to bring that peace. Yes. The price is paid. The Christ's blood was shed. So tonight, are you minding the spirit or are you minding the flesh? You know what one test is. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. This tells us here what that test is. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 now. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Tonight, are you feeling condemned? Are you feeling condemnation in your heart tonight? In any way? That can be taken away. But because there's no condemnation if you're walking after the Spirit. See, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all those things that, and restore a relationship with him. That's the law of Christ Jesus. The law of sin and death is simply this: the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So the law of Christ Jesus can set us free from death and bring us peace. Tonight, how are you with this? Is there unrest? Is there condemnation? Do you feel condemnation? No, don't blame anybody else. Don't blame anybody else. It's between you and God tonight. It's between me and God tonight. Where are we? Are things in our life the way God wants them to be? Are they? If they're not, there's a lack of peace. If they are, the condemnation is gone and there's peace. So how is it with you tonight? Remember, Romans 5 verse 1 tells us, being justified by faith, we have peace. So tonight, have you been justified by faith? Has the blood been applied? Is there rest in your heart tonight? Are you ready to fall asleep tonight? What if you don't wake up? Maybe you do. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's sometime. But are you ready at any time to stand before God? John tells us. Let me just remind you of those verses. So the 1 John. Such a beautiful picture, probably better than I can put into words. 1 John chapter 4. In verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Talking about a relationship. Right there it is. You're dwelling in God and God dwelling in you. That is a relationship. That is a restored relationship of peace. Herein is our love made perfect. In that restored relationship is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness or confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Are you that way tonight? That is the question for each one of us. Are you that way tonight? Is that restored relationship there? Do you have confidence in the day of judgment? That day has been appointed. If you're not living in peace tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to make peace with God. That choice is yours. You know what is going on in your hearts. You know whether there's condemnation or whether there isn't. We want to sing an invitation hymn tonight. And if you feel, you know, that there's unrest in your hearts, bring it to Christ. Restore that relationship. Restore that relationship. Maybe you never had a relationship with God. Maybe you did at one time. And for whatever reason, you broke that relationship. God never did. You broke that relationship. And you want to restore the relationship again because you want to have peace and have that confidence in the day of judgment. I encourage you to find that peace tonight. Stand to your feet, raise your hand, come forward, whatever you're comfortable with. We want to pray with you and help you find peace. What shall we sing? Invitation that God has for us is just the way you are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are tonight. It doesn't matter how you are here tonight. You want a restored relationship with Christ? Come just as you are. Let's go ahead and sing. In peace tonight, all ready to look into his face. If not, he calls one more time. Let's sing one more verse. Thank each one for coming tonight. Very attentive. Come praying again tomorrow if you can come. See what else God has for us to continue to revive us, to a closer walk with him, and to have it so that our love can be such that we have confidence in the day of judgment. The invitation is not closed. If you were afraid or fearful to stand tonight, see us afterwards, anytime. I want you to, all of us, to have peace with God that passeth understanding. The world doesn't understand. Sometimes we don't understand. How is it possible because of what I'm going through, I can have this peace? It's beyond understanding because it's a restored relationship with Christ. And I trust tonight, even though there was no verbal responses, I trust that's where you are. But if you aren't, let's find peace. And God bless each one. Let's stand for closing prayer.